الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من اتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله الأماني أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected elders and brothers, we were waiting one day for the coming of the month of Ramadan, and we are today on the last Jumu'ah of this Mubarak and auspicious month of Ramadan. We have passed three Jumu'ahs, today is the 25th of Ramadan, and by next week Thursday probably will be the day of Eid. So the next Jumu'ah that will come will be in the month of Shawwal. So being the last and auspicious and Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, being auspicious also with the fact that it is the last Jumu'ah in this auspicious month of Ramadan 1445, I wish to draw your attention to some very important aspects regarding our deen which many of us become very neglectful of. In the month of Ramadan, we exert ourselves very much insofar as the ibadat is concerned. We are fulfilling our duties and obligations and duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insofar as our salat is concerned, insofar as our sawm is concerned, which is a pillar of deen. But the deen of Islam is all-encompassing, and it is not only made up of ibadat. This is something very important for us to understand. Our deen has got five branches. So imagine this tree of Islam. This big tree of Islam has got five branches. And one of the branches is ibadat, which we have been engaged in during the auspicious month of Ramadan, insofar as our salat is concerned, insofar as our fasting is concerned. And many of us take this opportunity to fulfill our zakat obligations in this auspicious month, being the Mubarak month of Ramadan. So we have done the ibadat aspect of our deen. The remaining four or the remaining three aspects of our deen, which we also have to be conscientious about, is something that we need to give, very much attention to. So we have aqaid and we have ibadat. The other remaining three branches is the muamalat of a person, the muasharat of a person, and the akhlaq of a person. So these are the remaining three branches of the tree that will make all-encompassing called the tree of Islam. If you only hold on to the branch of ibadat, then that is not the tree. It is only the branch of the tree. We have to also take very cognizance and importance, due importance to the other branches of the tree, which also formulate very importantly with regards to how a person is fared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in basically you get hukukullah and you get hukukul ibad. Insofar as hukukullah is concerned, it only makes up one quarter of our deen, hukukullah. The other parts of our deen, the remaining parts, the three quarters, it's made up of the muamalat, the muasharat, and the social etiquettes, etc., that a person needs to be concerned about. And then that is called hukukul ibad. So we have to, my dear brothers, take stock of ourselves. Whilst a person might be very good in fulfilling his duties and obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if he is failing in his duties and obligations towards his fellow human being, he is not fulfilling the rights of his neighbors, he is not fulfilling the rights of his workers, he himself is not fulfilling the rights of his employer, and there's so many other aspects of, muamalat and muasharat, as well as his akhlaq, then my dear brothers, people don't necessarily judge a person only because of his salah. Fasting is for Allah. As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Nobody knows whether somebody is fasting or not. Everybody is supposed to be fasting. It's the Mubarak month of Ramadan. But normally a person doesn't know if anybody is fasting. So a person is not judged according to the number of fasts he keeps. A person is not judged according to his duties, fulfilling his duties and obligations to Allah by his fulfilling his, of his salah. But a person is judged, even in this worldly life, as well as in the akhirat, he will be judged according to his muamalat and his muasharat and his akhlaq, my dear brothers. So these three important aspects of our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conscientized us and mentioned that Allah ta'ala has got the right to forgive a person insofar as his hukukullah is concerned. Because those are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah ta'ala so wishes, He can forgive a person. Nobody can question Allah. But insofar as the hukukul ibad is concerned, insofar as fulfilling the rights of our fellow human beings, our akhlaq, how we conduct our business dealings, our akhlaq, etc., this, my dear brothers, Allah ta'ala will not even forgive that because it's the right of a fellow human being. It is a right of another person. It is a right of another Muslim. Or even if it's a right of another non-Muslim, Allah ta'ala does not excuse a person. But that, on that particular day, then Allah ta'ala will ask us to pay back with our amals. So all those amals that were done, a person will be then have to give those amals in lieu of him having, you know, showed some bad akhlaq to somebody, or not fulfilling the due rights that were due to someone, or having not conducted his business dealings in a correct manner. So this is something that we have to be very conscientized, very, very careful, and we have to be very, you know, conscientious about. Now there is an author called Khatib Baghdadi. He wrote one kitab, it's called Tariq Baghdad. In that he has mentioned several incidents of how the people in the past, they were so conscientious about their muamalats and dealings. And hearing that or reading that and judging our present circumstances and condition, we have to be very, very careful, my dear brothers. Allah Ta'ala does not forgive and excuse a person for his shortchanging somebody else. So he mentions a waqia about a person called Ibn Sirin. Now Ibn Sirin is a very well-known author, and he's a person who used to do ta'bir of dreams. There's a whole kitab called, you know, the dreams interpreted by Ibn Sirin. So Ibn Sirin, he purchased olive oil that was very, very expensive. 40,000 dirhams. The kitab says he bought olive oil, that whole drum of oil, to the value of 40,000 dirhams. Now after having received it, after some time, what happened? One rat came, and then it fell into that thing and it died in that particular olive oil. It died in that. Now the masla is that the thing is now becomes, you know, it cannot be purified. It's wasted. 40,000 dirhams. So the people advised him and said, see, this thing is very valuable. Just that part where that rat was, that particular part and around there little bit, take the thing out and throw it, and the rest of it, sell it away. But now he is saying that, no, the masla I have to fulfill, and this amanat and trust, how can I sell something that is not purified, that is not permissible for me to sell, even though the value might be 40,000 dirhams. I cannot sell this thing to another Muslim. He took that entire drum and wasted it and caused it to go down. And solely and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I cannot sell this particular goods to somebody, or this particular olive oil to somebody who is thinking that it is pure and it is something that he can utilize, because Allah ta'ala knows and I know that this thing is impure. But this was the cautiousness. This was the fear. Just imagine now in our day and age, if that same waqia had to happen, if that same incident had to happen, how would a person in our day and age fair when he has purchased something of such a high value, and now he knows that it has become, you know, it's not purified, I cannot sell this. He will find some way and some loophole or some way in which he'll be able to, you know, go around the book and try and dispose of that thing and gain a profit from it. Allah Ta'ala safeguard and protect us. So the people of the past had, they were very conscientious about this. There's a waqia written about, they say, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak. Now who was Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak? He was a very great tabi. And he used to write a hadith, you know. There's some famous waqiyas, but the time is very short. So he used to write a hadith, and they used to in that time use the pen that was like a wooden pen. They used to dip it in an ink pot, and then they used to continue writing. Then when the ink finishes, they dip it again, and they used to write. So that pen of his, you know, it was not working properly. So somebody who was near him, he borrowed the pen, and he continued writing the hadith. Now, as it normally happens, we borrow a pen from somebody, and then unconsciously sometimes we put it in our pocket, or we fail to return it, or something like that. Now, Abdullah bin Mubarak, that pen remained with him, and he traveled from wherever he was, in Baghdad or somewhere he was, and he traveled a long distance, and he went to the place wherever he was going. And that day, those times, we know, you know, I know, that the Safar of that time was not like now. You sit, you know, at Fajr time in Johannesburg, and you're making like Asr in Medina or Maghrib in Medina. Same day you're traveling and you're going via air. They used to travel on horseback, camelback, and imagine the Safar of those particular days and a number of, you know, a long journey. So after he came to his destination, he opened his goods. And when he opened his goods, inside he saw the spin. Allahu Akbar. This was the iman and taqwa within them. He realized that this is not my pen. This was a pen that in that majlis of mine, there was somebody who was seated there. I borrowed his pen to write the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I cannot keep this. Agar mujhe maut waqi ho jaye. The kitab says, he thought in his mind that in this time, and you know, in case my death overcomes me. So he got up immediately, packed his saman again, got his horses and whatever ready, and he traveled all the way back to Baghdad to go and return that single wooden pen to somebody who he had taken away from by in error, and he had forgotten to give it back. Now this was the iman, and this was the taqwa, something that you and I have been striving for to achieve during this auspicious and mubarak month of Ramadan, is taqwa. And that is something, my dear brothers, that has to last for us for the remaining 11 months until Allah Ta'ala inshallah blesses us with another mubarak month of Ramadan. So this taqwa and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we have to revive within ourselves. We have to conscientize ourselves that my deen is not only ibadat, it is also made up with other aspects of my life. And I have to answer to Allah Ta'ala regarding it. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, a famous person, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, we need to know and read these waqiyats and, you know, get the book on history of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He was called Umar Thani, Umar the Second, a very great personality in our history. Now, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he was the ruler, he was the Khalifa of the time. And now, it was like, now this auspicious days of Eid are coming. So his wife came to him and said, "Oh Umar, oh Khalifa, Khalifatul Mu'mineen, there is not sufficient money for me to buy material for my children that I can sew their clothing. And the days of Eid are coming. So, can you make some arrangements?" So he said that whatever money I get from the Baitul Mal, I gave it to you. And that was the only money I got. The money has been used. I don't have any money. So they say the ladies, they find a solution to all the problems, you know. Probably it was at that time as well. So she made a suggestion to him. And she said, "You know what you do? Go to the Baitul Mal and ask the Khazanchi, the treasurer of the Baitul Mal. Tell him that the days of Eid are coming. We don't have anything. And if he can forward you 1 month's salary in advance." Now it seems a brilliant idea. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz also, he also went now to the treasurer, to the Khazanchi. He went to the Baitul Mal. He told the treasurer that, listen, I need some clothing for my children. The days of Eid are coming. Not an ordinary person, Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And now he made an appeal to him to give him 1 month's advance salary. Allahu Akbar. The iman and taqwa of the people of the time. The treasurer asked Umar bin Abdul Aziz that, O Khalifatul Mu'mineen, I am ready to give you the money from the treasury for 1 month's advance payment. But can you give me a guarantee that you will be the Khalifa and that your death would have not overtaken you? Can you give me that guarantee? If you can write it down and give me a guarantee that you will be the Khalifa, you will be ruling at that particular time, I'll forward you 1 month's advance. But otherwise, maaf, I cannot do that. Umar bin Abdul Aziz lowered his head. He lowered his head and he realized what the treasurer was telling him was 100% true. That I cannot give you that guarantee. What you talking about 1 month's guarantee? Main to ek pal ke, I can't give you a guarantee for an eyelid, for a flash of an eyelid, for a blink of an eye. I cannot give you that guarantee. So, jazakumullah, we will stay with our old clothes, we will utilize whatever is available, but I will not want to take this responsibility that I am taking an advance salary for something that I may not be deserving if I have to pass away in that time. So these are the examples of our predecessors, people who have come in the past, whom Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity, my dear brothers, that on in this auspicious month of Ramadan, we have enabled and tried to rectify and make correct our ibadat. Now together with that, make this niyat on this auspicious day of Jummah, whilst we are sitting here, make this niyat an intention that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq that in the other branches of deen, insofar as my muamalats are concerned, muamalats meaning, my dear brothers, our business transactions. Insofar as my muasharat is concerned, my social etiquettes are concerned, insofar as my akhlaq is concerned, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq. I'm making this niyat on this auspicious day of Jummah, in the last Jummah of this Mubarak month of Ramadan, that give me the tawfiq that I can start rectifying our amals and deeds, my dear brother. There are so many people, and we get so many of these complaints. They take loans, they are unable to pay their debts. They, don't fulfill the rights of even notifying the person who they took a loan from that I'm unable to fulfill my debt. Please allow me a little bit more time. Give me, there's no, that communication is not there. And then we just discard it. My dear brothers, these are very important aspects of our life that we have to rectify. If we are in a position of amanat, then my dear brothers, am I conducting myself in a manner in which I'm supposed to be conducting myself insofar as that amanat dari is concerned? I'm working for somebody, am I utilizing the telephone, am I utilizing the other aspects in that business, am I conscientious of it? Because it doesn't belong to me, I'm only an ameen. I'm only a trustee with regard to this year. It belongs to somebody else. I need his ijazat and permission. If I utilize it on my own like that, and then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to question us, my dear brothers, we'll be caught up very, very, on the back foot, so to say. And then what will be answer to Allah? A person got 100% for ibadat, but he got 0% for his muamalat. He got 0% for his akhlaq. He got 0% for his muasharat. Then, my dear brothers, you'll still be a failure. You'll still be a failure, my dear brothers. So let us be conscientious, concerned about these aspects. There are many other, waqiyat I wanted to relate, but the time is very short. I want to just, close up my bayan by reminding you and reminding myself. There are two odd nights that are remaining. The 27th of Ramadan and the 29th of Ramadan. Let us be wary and conscientious of this. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he warned the person who receives the Mubarak month of Ramadan, yet he is unable to obtain forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Woe unto that person. May disgrace come on that person. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam made the dua. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. Allah ta'ala safeguard and protect us that we are not amongst those particular people. My dear brothers, there are four types of people who are mahroom from the forgiveness of Allah. I quickly want to mention this because if we are involved or we have something with this, maybe it's an opportunity for us to rectify ourselves. We're not going to have lunch. I might be a few minutes extra, I apologize from the beginning. But my dear brothers, it's very important for us to go home with this message. The first person is that person who the hadith talks about, he's an alcoholic. So in our day and age, we will say that he is a person who is involved or he's intoxicated. He's involved in intoxicants. Because that khamar that is mentioned, it is not only in reference to alcohol. Allah Ta'ala in His greatness and the words that Allah Ta'ala utilizes, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ. This khamar is anything that covers the mind. So ulama explained to us that it is also in reference to intoxicants. Intoxicants meaning any drugs. So if a person is in that, make tawbah today. Before the 27th night of Ramadan, make tawbah and ask Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to shun this vice if it is within us. And may it not be such that anybody here is involved in this. But if a person is an alcoholic or is an intoxicant person who is involved in intoxicants, let us be wary. Ask Allah to safeguard and protect us and to, you know, free us from this. The second person, my dear brothers, whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, is that person who is disobedient to his parents. My dear brothers, those of us who have our parents, we've got a very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hands. We are finding cases of where children are not speaking to their parents and etc. for months and years, and you know, it goes on and on. I'm saying to you, whatever the problem is, let us make maaf, whatever it is. A person cannot be angry with his parent. You cannot be angry with your parents. So ask forgiveness from your parents. That person who has not fulfilled the rights of his parents, my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala safeguard and protect us. It's such a big guna that Allah gives you that punishment in the worldly life as well. I don't have time, but there's a waqia of one person who used to beat his mother. He used to hit his mother. And then mother passed away, but he took that hurt of the mother. That particular person got married, he got divorced, got married, got divorced, got married to a lady who was not 100%. She had two children, both of them were not 100%. And eventually he was murdered and he got killed. So I'm saying to you that those of us who have our parents value this very great ni'mat. Those of us who have lost our parents, make dua for isale sawab for them, fulfill our rights and duties towards them by being kind and generous towards their friends, etc. But take this opportunity to be kind towards your parents. The third person whom Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned is that person who is a mushahin, that person who has ill feelings towards somebody else. He is not forgiven in this night. Auspicious night of Laylatul Qadr. But he will not be seek the forgiveness of Allah. He will not be forgiven. Why? Because hukukul ibad. So my dear brothers, ill feeling towards another person, Muslim brother, having some jealousy towards, some ill feeling in our heart, somebody did something to us, whatever it is, take this opportunity to cleanse our heart. You know, make maaf to one another, whatever it might be. For the sake of Allah, keep in front of us that we have to answer to Allah Ta'ala. And the fourth person is that person, my dear brothers, who he is qati'u rahimin. He is that person who has broken off his relationships and ties with his family members. With our parents, with our uncles, with our aunts, or brothers and brothers, or sisters and brother, and sisters themselves, sisters-in-law and sister, you know, brother's wife and sister's wife, and they have all these issues. Sit them down, tell them this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and find some opportunity in which we can join the family ties again. May Allah Ta'ala safeguard and protect us, that we must not be such that this Mubarak month of Ramadan leaves us and that there is no change and we have not obtained the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then finally, my dear brothers, two masail. One is with regard to the Sadaqatul Fitr, what we call fitra. It's Sadaqatul Fitr, fitra. It is due on any person who witnesses the day of Eid and he has got, sufficient wealth, then he must pay that fitra. It's only 28 rand, say 30 rand. Round it off, 30 rand per person. So if you've got minor children, you have to pay for them. You have to pay for the wife also. Take permission for the wife and pay. And for the minor children, the dad, the father is responsible for doing that. And those of us who have not been able to fast for whatever reason, Allah Ta'ala gives you that health and strength, then you need to make qaza of the fast. And not, then you have to pay the fidya of it. It's also, work it out around 28 or minimum amount. People phone our office and say that how much do I have to pay? So the minimum amount is 28 rand. So you can give whatever amount you work out. If you feel that I can give 50 rand, so give 50 rand. Nobody is stopping. Do I have to give 28 rand? No. You can give any amount. That's the minimum amount. So Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq, grant us the understanding, make it such that we are amongst those who have received the auspicious and Mubarak night of Laylatul Qadr, a night that is valued of more than 1,000 months. The Quran doesn't say how much more. It just says khayrun min alfi sana, min alfi shahr. It is khayr, it's better than 1,000 months. May Allah make it such that we have received that auspicious and Mubarak month, with blessing, and the Mubarak night, inshallah, that we witness it. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.